Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to 2016. It's so delightful to be on the air for the first time this year. And the topic today is 2016 and the power of truth. Wow. Sometimes it's hard to contain excitement when you get glimpses of what's possible with the power of truth. So we just started this new year, 2016, and here we are. Like every other day, here we are. What potential, what power exists within us as the truth of us? And what does it offer us? How can we discover the truth of our ability to create life as we desire it to be? There is genuinely no limit to our ability to create. And 2016 is the year that it becomes not only possible, but it also becomes a reality as well. Before we start off and delve into this dialogue of power and truth in this beautiful year 2016, let's just take an idea, a moment, a pause, if you will, and appreciate what we've been through, perhaps personally and collectively. I suggest we are this human consciousness on this planet now is at a birthing point of creation that is so unique, that is so powerful, it has not been replicated in the span of humanity, probably in the entire universe or galaxy. And the reason I say that is where we've been. The path that we have gone through to bring us to this moment. And the reason I'm pausing now and starting off with looking at the past is because I think if you peel away the dirt and the dust of the past, the darkness, the shadow, the pain, the misery, that hidden within the story of our past is the jewels, is the elixir, the catalyst, if you will make 2016 and the years beyond this so powerful, so powerful. The power of the truth of who we are is beyond the ability of any language to describe. And having gone through what we've gone, personally and collectively, we've gone through so much darkness, so much limitation. We are the masters of limitation. But pretty soon that won't apply to us as a title. And for many of us, it's something we've let go of long ago. But when you look at the traditional human experience on this planet in the past has been pretty static, pretty lateral kind of experiences, for so much of humanity, the condition you were born into wasn't that far off from the condition you passed away in at the end of your life. In other words, from the beginning to the end of your life, the paradigm, the story, the circumstances of how you experience life really wouldn't change that much. And I'm using genres here just to give a general idea. I'm not putting any specifics to it. If you were born blue collar, you died blue collar. If you saw yourself as a citizen, that's how you saw yourself when you passed away. In other words, there wasn't a substantial amount of new creation, if you will, in the sense that the paradigm, the story of what you would experience in a single lifetime really wouldn't be very transformative as far as the storyline. And I'm speaking in general terms. And what that does for us is that I think there's something about the idea of longing for the end of suffering, longing for peace in our heart, longing for a sense of sustainability or security, if you will, economically, physically, in our homes, in our communities. I mean, it's no surprise to even look at the news today, and there's all kinds of grief going on. There's many, many flavors of suffering and pain at the hand of another human being that's still being played out now in 2016 on our planet. And when a human being is so quagmired in darkness and pain and suffering and separation, in a disconnect from any sense of power or control over circumstance, the longing, the desire, the dream of becoming free again, the dream of becoming whole, if you will, the perception of whole again, the dream of not having to struggle anymore, not having to be afraid, not having to worry how things are going to turn out. There's so much upheaval. You know, social media is really a curious thing. You see so many people sharing their very core beliefs in very passionate ways. And a lot of them are afraid. They've surrendered. There's a whole gamut of feelings in our human condition now. That longing for something better is a precipice, is an anticipation, if you will, of more joyful days, of more lighthearted days, of easier times in our life, more abundance or prosperity or opulence, which is abundance in all arenas. When we look at what we've been through, and we look at the condition of humanity now, there's so much desire, there's so much wanting. People are praying for peace. People are praying for a chance, a foothold to have peace on earth, security as best as it can exist in nature, prosperity. I mean, just to kind of, it's almost like you're treading water. You've fallen into the water and you're treading water and you're trying to keep your head above the water and you're trying to keep yourself sustained, alive. And there's a lot of energy and effort that goes into that. And it's from that place, I suggest, that our souls at some point, probably many, many, many moons ago, before we went so far into the darkness, our souls wanted to know what it would feel like. What would it feel like to be so separated from source, so separated from the truth, so disconnected from a sense of surety and a sense of absoluteness as far as who we are and what our destiny is. To be so disconnected from that, our souls wondered, what would it feel like to come out of the darkness having forgotten the truth of who we are, having forgotten just how powerful we are? The reason I start off with where we've come is it really shines a light on where we are going. It's from that place of coming out of the darkness, coming out of the separation, that the idea, just the idea that we could turn this thing around, the idea that we could overcome these struggles, brings a sense of hope, brings a sense of excitement, brings a sense of is this possible? I mean, it's like, oh my God, really can this happen? Kind of excitement. I suggest that was the point all along, that we obviously collectively chose as very powerful beings to don a veil of forgetfulness and plunge ourselves into the darkest of the dark. Humanity made a vehicle of mass destruction. When I was a kid, the idea of fear was it raining nuclear destruction, and the idea of that was actually built out. It was physically created. I mean, that's how far we went. I mean, that's kind of a testament to how disconnected we were from our hearts, from our humanity, if you will. And the countless wars, the tens of millions, if not billions of people over time that have been persecuted and destroyed in acts of war, and I don't need to describe it, but just to glimpse it, just to look in the past and glimpse, to look at where we've been, and then we come to this moment, and then we come to this moment in time. And I suggest 2016 will prove to be a pivotal point in the transition from the darkness to the light. The most popular date in this transition was 2012. And we've all lived through that, unless you were born pretty recently. We all went through 2012, and seemingly not a lot had changed. I mean, certainly there were prominent events. And here we are several years past 2012, and we're just starting out a fresh, brand new year, 2016, and here we are. I suggest, from my perspective, looking at the collective and understanding that human consciousness is logarithmic, which means that a slight increment, a slight increase in human consciousness is a substantial change in the amount of power, raw power, when you observe the collective, both individually and collectively, and what I mean by that individually is perhaps there's people on social media that you've seen that have had a change of heart in their own conditions, in their own stories, that have had a turnaround where they've gone from a sense of struggle, a sense of disparity, and flipped the tide and gone over the hump and made it around the bend to a point where they're truthfully joyful for their life today. You can watch it in people individually, and you can see it in people collectively. There's so many aspects of our past where we haven't been congruent with the truth of who we are. There's so many aspects of our society that do not honor the human being. There's so many attributes to our culture that are poised for profit, that are poised for competitive advantage, that are poised for a sense of control, that are poised for a collective governing mindset, that do not honor the individual, the human being, the citizen, if you will. And I suggest to you that there's no institution, administration, organization that has value over the individual experience. In other words, there is no success in making a governing body, an academic administration, or whatever form of governing there is, if the individual does not benefit at the most fundamental level. When I mean fundamental level, that the reason or the truth of whatever has been instigated has a primary focus on the advantage of the citizen, of the human being. And the reason I bring this up is when we're going to talk about the power of truth, where's this power going to come from? Do you think it's from an assembly of Congress? Do you think it's an assembly of religious folks that... Do you think it's based on some political party? No. No institution trumps, that's not a political statement, the power of the individual. Now, certainly, individuals can come together as powerful people and form a collective and form a group, a structure that is immensely powerful. But if that indeed happens, and if that indeed is successful, it's because the human being, every single human being within that, is empowered to be the creator that honors the truth of who they are. And this will really bring out a lot of polishing, if you will, as far as how do we come together and honor the truth of who we are, collectively and individually, the structure of our governing bodies, if you will be honed, will be polished, will be tuned by the desire and the power of love of ourselves and love of each other. The power of love, the desire to have a loving thought of yourself and for another, that intention will be what reflects back to us the answer of what it means to be a powerful and loving community, living on one of these big round things called planets, just like the one you and I are on. We can't look in the history books and see it modeled to us very well. There's inklings of it. When I ponder the past, my heart tells me the most, from my perspective, the most genuinely authentic society was probably the Vedic time. And this is of the ones that I'm aware of. Every time I think of the Vedic era, I have a sense of purity. I have a sense of cohesiveness from that era that strikes very deeply in the core of who I am. But that era was such a long time ago. And I suggest what we're poised to do now is create something similar. Perhaps Atlantis was similar to that. Perhaps Atlantis resonates more with you. But in the history of our culture on the planet, here on Earth, it was so long ago that we were anywhere near congruent and compatible with the truth of who we are. So here we are. Here we are. Hey, how are you? It's 2016. This year has already started. I suggest this is going to be a pivotal year because of the power of consciousness being logarithmic. There's so many people that have been honing, purifying, honoring the truth of who they are. It'll be like fresh seedlings poking through the dirt, young chicks in the nest of where they hatched, fresh life, fresh congruency, fresh ideas of what's possible. I think we're at a birthing, if you will, of a pacing. We're at the beginning of a pacing of manifestation, of raw creation that we have not seen in recent history. And what I mean by recent is just the last several thousand years. In the big time span of things, it's pretty recent. And as such, there's no history, if you will, that's shared from our recent past of anyone really able to dialogue what it means to live on heaven, to live in heaven on earth. So here we are, it's 2016, the power of truth. You're a human being, I'm a human being. We're each a point of presence of this divine consciousness. Every single one of us is made from the same fabric, and that fabric is a very powerful creator incarnate in a human form. So you have a body, you can pinch yourself, you can touch yourself. That flesh you're touching is Mother Earth. It's on loan to you for this moment, because later on you'll probably be putting more atoms of Mother Earth in your mouth and you'll be flushing away others. It's like you're this fountain, you're this regenerative fountain of atoms. You have a particular genetic history. There's lineage that puts you, your heritage in cultures. And every lineage has its own attributes. And here you are now in your lineage, in your specific species, with your own specific demeanor, this vehicle, this body of yours, this vehicle, this body that is what you've embodied to go through what's called a lifetime So your mind's listening to this. Your soul is smiling. And we're at the doorway of immense possibilities. Your soul, I'm sure, was, I don't know, do souls get excited? That's a curious question. When this lifetime was perceived before you were even born, the idea of who you are now, whatever age you are now, where whatever story you're playing out now, this timeline of your life was perceived by your soul and chosen for you to have this experience. And we're at a moment now, in this moment, where we're pausing and contemplating the art of living, if you will, as a human being on this planet, as a human being. So when we talk about 2016 and the power of truth, what does that mean? The power of truth. What does the truth have to offer us as far as power? Certainly in the past, so many of us have had ideas of transcending our condition, transcending any sense of struggle, and perhaps we went our entire lifetime and didn't make much headway with it. When you talk about power, I think there's a fundamental element to power, and that's karma. When you think of the birth of a soul, if there's this idea of God or source consciousness or prime creator, however you want to cognitively noodle the idea of creation, in the beginning was the light. I suggest in the beginning of the birth of you as a soul, perhaps many, many lifetimes ago, coming out of source, there's no attributes, if you will, because there's no experience and there's no history. When we look at the power of truth, the reason we've had this latency, this temporal pacing, this where we go to create and the amount of time it takes for many people is too long and they give up and their dreams are not on the table. The vision of their soul is not on the table. The passion of their heart does not get any attention during the day. Because once you've loaded up with karma, you've set anchor, if you will. You've loaded up belief systems, feelings, emotions in your psyche that create repetitive patterning that create that sense of temporal sluggishness, the sense of lateral experience where from the beginning to the end of your life, there's not a lot of difference. But the power of truth says the universe has no bias. The universe, the process of creation, if you will, has no bias to a choice. One choice does not have more merit than another. The universe gladly fulfills whatever is asked of it without pause or hesitation. And the power of truth says that when there is no energy, story, belief within us that is contrary, the only outcome is the creation. When there's nothing contrary in our persona, then the outcome is absolute. I like the idea of a legion of Gandhis, a legion of Buddhas, a legion of Jesuses, awakening collectively all over the planet now. human consciousness has come so far to this point, we're not going back. We're not going to go back to that point of war and annihilation. That's not going to happen. And the reason I can say that is the process of creation starts from a point of consciousness. All creation starts as inspiration in mind. Everything happens energetically first, and then the very last event happens in the physical realm. It's like a long whip. When you grab the handle of the whip and you start to move it, the tip of the whip succumbs. It surrenders. It is bound to what happens at the handle. And if you think of the process of creation, the handle is your energetic signature, your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs in this moment now. And the way you take that and apply that in a sense of power dictates your ability to energetically describe what you're seeding, what you're intending with the whip at the handle. And for our minds, the very last event, way out on the tip of the whip, is the physical world, the atoms, the atomic world that we live in is the opposite end, the very tip of the whip. And that's all our egos can see. That's all our mind can comprehend, is the far tip of the whip. So many people will look at the story of what's going on in our culture and say, oh my, gloom, despair, we're going down the whirlpool, and there's not much to be hopeful for. And energetically, what you're doing there is you're surrendering your ability to be powerful, to influence change. Because when you create, you start as an energy, you start as inspiration, and then to be able to sustain that energy and have no other energy contrary, the language of the universe in the most fundamental realm is energy. To be able to sustain that energy will dictate what happens at the tip of the whip. So it's almost like you have to let go of what your mind, what your eyes are showing you. If you want to create new, if you want to create different, if you want to transcend the paradigm of your life, to let go of what your eyes see, because all your eyes can see is the ripples of the past showing up in the present. To create new, to create a new paradigm that is contrary to what has been in the past, contrary has a little resonance of conflict to it, that is different from the resonance of the past, from the paradigm of the past. To create a completely new paradigm is to have an intent of what you want, to have an intent, a vision, an idea of what you want, and then to hold that idea as a signature vibration and until it ripples all the way out to the tip of the whip, and then it will be your physical experience. So the power of truth is the principle of creation has no boundary. It has no limitations of its own. We are creators. We are the exact same consciousness that said, what the hell, why don't we make a universe? Why don't we make a galaxy? Maybe Divine Mother, Divine Father was sitting there in bed going, hell, damn, that last thing we did was pretty wild. What else could we do? And the idea of creation of the entire galaxy, the entire universe, down to our solar system, down to our planet, down to our continent, down to our neighborhood, down to our homes, down to our physical bodies, down to us, inside of us, this consciousness. I'm speaking a sentence now, and it's your consciousness that's interpreting it. It's that consciousness that is the same consciousness of the beginning of time, that is the same consciousness of all of creation. It's the one mind. It's the holographic universe. You are creation personified. Your consciousness right now is creation personified. And in order to harness the power of the truth of that, your ego would do well to understand the nature of it. Your ego can't comprehend. Your ego cannot put down in words the potential of who you are. The truth of who you are. It's beyond language. So how do you work with someone like that? I mean, infinity just warps the mind. It's so vast you can't wrap your noggin around it. So what the hell? How do you cast out your net and capture that vision and bring it back and fulfill it into creation? Well, that's the power of truth. Since this consciousness, this creative consciousness that you are now, since it's logarithmic, meaning every step you take into the darkness, you logarithmically lose power, and every step you take back towards the light, you logarithmically restore power. Play with it. Play with the power of truth, the power of creation. And how do you do that? You daydream. It's not your logical, rational mind that's going to seed you the big picture. It's going to be the inspiration of your soul and your heart. The power of truth is you are a human being who can, through intention, capture the vision of what heaven on earth would look like. And you, your consciousness, be the portal, the doorway where it comes from the unknown into the known. Wow. I'm no legacyologist. Wow. Practice that, and you'll change not only your life, but you'll change the world. Because the power of the truth of who we are, anything any mystic, sage, or prophet has ever done exists in your potential now. So in other words, take the most glorious storyline ever told by human beings, and that's an inkling, that's a starting point of a possibility of what you can create in this lifetime, on this earth, in this paradigm, now. Holy cow. Wow. I want some of that. Shit, yeah. I'm all over that. In order to bring your mind around, to bring your ego around, is a sense of trust. Trust that you indeed are worthy. You're worthy to be the creator. You've always, always, always been the creator. But when the energy that you were seeding, the process of creation, was fear and torment and suffering and pain, the end of the whip didn't go much farther than the handle. But when you can pull that handle up out of the darkness because of the intention of your heart and your soul, and you can say, I've seen enough of the dark side. Sounds too familiar lately. I've seen too much of that, and I've had my fill of it. I want to see humanity fulfilled. Let's take all our senses of struggle and flip them over. That's what's so wonderful about imagination. You know, the truth of it is, there's if you were to measure it in currency, the universe has no preference. In other words, the universe doesn't operate solely in electricity or horsepower or finances. It operates in all of those realms. But just to put a unit of measurement on it, there's trillions and trillions of dollars of opportunity in this transformation process of human consciousness. When you provide value, when your perspective provides value to another, that's the thing itself. That's the vehicle of change. That's a vehicle of a healthy society, a healthy culture, a healthy community. When you can, with your own imagination, through the compassion of your heart and the desire for the return to love, when you can be the vehicle of that, you can have that inspiration of what the next chapter has to offer us, both individually and collectively. The power of the truth is, if your heart is willing and your mind is able, your soul will provide you a vision of how your life can unfold in a very powerful way. In a temporal pacing that blows the old ways out of the water, when you shed the shadow of the past, when you energetically resolve the unresolved in your own conscious and subconscious mind, you're eliminating any thoughts contrary. As you cleanse your subconscious, as you cleanse your belief systems, as you give your emotions the consciousness they want so they can just express, you're purifying, you're honing, you're cleansing the truth of you, the purity of you. You're polishing this inner light of you so it can shine brighter and brighter. And the brighter it shines, the less time it takes to manifest. The brighter it shines, the greater jump in a paradigm can happen in a short period of time. So here we are, we have a year ahead of us. And there's today, well, there's this hour now, well, there's this minute now, well, there's these seconds we're experiencing right now. What's possible in this temporal pacing? What's possible? What rate of change can we experience that's graceful and harmonious? Chaotic change that creates a turbulence in the wake doesn't serve us. But the truth is, the power of love, the power of grace, the power of harmony says that when we're willing to let go of the past, the universe has no memory of it. And we can create as new of a story as we choose. So let go of what your eyes see. Let go of what you hear as the history of humanity that has no bearing on where we can go. Train your ego, your mind, to trust the vision of your soul, the power of your heart. Do this every day. Trust who you are. And the real power tools to become powerful are compassion and forgiveness. And start with yourself. The universe holds no history of the past as a merit towards the future. You are free now. You are innocent now. And only you can acknowledge that status. Only you can come to absolute forgiveness of yourself. You are forgiven. The universe has no worry, concern, or gives no never mind about what happened before, whatever before is. If when you resolve it within your own psyche, poof, that's it, it's over. It has no merit in your future. Anything in the past that influences our future exists as energy within us now. And when we resolve that energy and we return to purity, then the past has no say whatsoever in the future when we energetically resolve it from within our own psyche. And that's where power comes in. I'm here, my soul, my part in this chapter of humanity is to language power. And my soul taught me power by having me work with it every day. I would go into work and work on very high power television transmitters where we had taken an immense amount of energy, raw power, and get it to gracefully move through the room and go out the antenna and provide the city with a television signal. We'd get 1,000,000 watts out the door. And when you talk about that kind of power, that's a power to destroy. If you didn't do it right, if that power wasn't harmonious, if you didn't honor the nature of that power, it would gladly put you off the air for a long time by melting the flipping hardware. It would bark very loud. My soul put me in front of that so I could noodle in my mind, and I tell you what, it was not obvious. I don't hear a lot of people talk about power in a very congruent way from my perspective. It took me a long time. It took me years and years of scratching my head going, what the hell's happening in this thing? What is happening in this piece of equipment that when I push the go button, what changes in the ether that millions of people instantly get a pristine television signal? And I'd go, I'd go to transmitter class and some PhD up at the front of the class is explaining to me how it works. And I go back and I'm standing in front of it. And sure, the way they explained it taught me how to hook it up and taught me how to apply the signal and calibrate it and tune it and get the phasing gain just right and look at reject power and make sure it's all going out the door. But there was something missing. There was something missing in the idea of broadcasting, the idea that I'm pushing this signal out the antenna. And I scratched my head for quite a while until I could wrap my noggin around what was going on with power. And it's from that experience that I have good authority to tell you that you're incredibly powerful. You're a point of presence of God consciousness, of the one consciousness that is the source of all creation. You are a point of presence. You are a point of raw potential. And in a hologram, any point has the exact same merit as any other point. The whole is contained in every single point. So the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, before you, ahead of you, they have no advantage. As far as the universe is concerned, all requests have a merit of one. In other words, you have the authority. even to use that word, we're talking to our ego minds. You have the authority to create. Well, let's think about this for a minute. You're the creator carnate. There's never a moment when you're not the creator carnate. And then how could it even be possible that you didn't have the authority? You're it. There's no authority required. You're it, period, end of story. There's nobody to give you authority. There's only your ability to give yourself permission. There's only your ability to see yourself worthy. There's only your own relationship with the truth, period. Sure, you can choose to let go of that and surrender it to a religion or a dogma. But in truth, it's you and it. There's nothing in between you and it because you are it. Nobody can bring you anything to make you more powerful than you are now. People can help you bring your beliefs into alignment, but they're not giving you power. They're changing your relationship with the power you already are. No prophet, no deity, no sage, no somebody, you know, it doesn't, there's no part of the hologram that will come to you to make you complete. There's no title, there's no noun, there's no presence, there's no persona, because you're already it. You're already it. I can't give you power because you already are power. I can help you understand your relationship to this power, but I can't give you power because you're already it. You are worthy. You do have the authority. It's inherent in who you are. It's blasphemy to think that you can't have it because you're already it. It's like water to a fish. The fish is, and the water are one. I mean, that it's even more pure than that example. You're already the thing itself now. I suggest you, it takes quite a bit of noodling to bring your noggin around. It takes quite a bit of contemplation to get your mind to understand and trust and believe. You know, when the scallywags decided to design war machines and decided to cast waves of pain and grief and sorrow and war on humanity, they didn't ask anybody. In other words, when the scallywags chose to drag collective huge vast spans of humanity into struggle and torment and grief, they didn't ask anybody. Do you think you have to ask anybody to pull us out? Do you think you have to ask permission to clean up the mess? I'm using loose terms here. I don't mean it literally. Do you think you need to ask permission to be powerful? Who the hell are you going to ask? You're already it. You're it. Tag, you're it. And no matter what you've done in the past, you can't separate yourself from that truth. The power of the truth of who you are is you're already it. The question becomes, can you own it? Can you show up for it? Can you embody it? Can it be your heart through the compassion of love that says, I've seen enough of this iguana, you know, this shadow, this suffering, this pain. I've seen plenty of that. I choose to be a vehicle of love, of peace, of joy, of happiness, of music, of food, of festival, of song and dance and appreciation. When you choose to do that, you literally create the idea of heaven energetically in your own persona. And that's where all change happens. When you choose to do that, You are the vehicle of change that brings heaven on earth. Wow. Wow. The power of truth. That's the truth of who you are. If you want to get good at this, take the time to learn the nature of what it means to be powerful as a human being. There's fundamental attributes to a powerful individual. Just like to get the power out the door at a transmitter site, it didn't matter what I thought. The only thing that mattered was the energy pure, was the equipment tuned. Because if those things weren't right, the power wouldn't be leaving the building in a graceful way. It would be barking and sparking. So you're a powerful being. My life path is to provide a platform for people to come to understand and embody the truth of who they are. My language has to be pure in order for me to be successful. The burning bush said, I am that I am. No embellishment. Zippo. Like the light bulb of a movie projector, there's no artifacts in it. It's pure. I language as pure of language as I can as to the nature of truth, the nature of power, the nature of who you are. I've created a vehicle for this new human living. I've written a bunch of books. I'm going to write a bunch more, but my latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, holy cow, you, as a point of presence, of a powerful presence. You want to play big? You want to honor the truth of who you are? You want to cognitively wrap your noggin around what the hell it means to be a powerful person on this planet during this paradigm now? I can help you with that. I can't give you power. You already have it. But I can help you improve your relationship to your own power, to understand it, to hone it, to embody it. And there's only one source of power, and that's love, divine love. And it comes from inside of you. It comes from within your heart. You know, I suggest there's a reason you've been listening to this show. Here we are at the end of the show, and you're still listening. Huh, gotcha. Your soul wants you to understand the truth of who you are in this lifetime, to show up in a powerful way in this lifetime. I suggest you go to newhumanliving.com. And an easy thing to do is sign up for the newsletter. We're going to have some wonderful packages coming down the pike that are going to help you connect with the truth of who you are. You know, it's my joy and my pleasure. I'm humbled by the role I am here to play in this moment. And I thank you for sharing this opportunity with me. To peace on earth, to goodwill to all. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been a pleasure. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.